You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show.
My heels on high.
Turn down for what, y'all?
Turn down for what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right, folks. It's going to be one of those shows on Keeping Up with the Kardashians literally today, right here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to bring you in for Season 9, Episode 12, The Vienna Incidents here on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I'm your host, Bobby DeMuro, as always, joined by my lovely panel that just gets goofier every time. Next to me, the wonderful Francesca Dugan. By the way, my favorite host, Francesca.
Hey.
And across the table. Across the table, you can see the two of them on Catfish together every Wednesday. We've got Jesse Owen in green and Sterling Cates in blue, the colorful twins.
Hey.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
Rocking the primary colors today.
Something like that. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to have a lot of fun on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show. A couple things before we get started. The first of which, we talked about it last week, but Maria's new book is out in stores doing very well. The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, How I Lost 40 Pounds and Kept It Off, and How You Can Too. Ladies, I know you all, I believe all three of you have a copy of this thing,
yeah.
Reading it, doing all that good stuff.
I've been reading it every day.
And you looking good, girl. I don't know about kissing the guns, but I mean,
anyway.
That is on Amazon.com. It's at Barnes & Noble. It is wherever books are sold. Still on the New York Times bestseller list,
yes.
For what it's worth. It is doing very well, so congratulations to Maria for that. And, yeah, it's a good thing for the summer. Hey, speaking of good things this summer that you guys can do for us to help us, get on iTunes right now. If you are listening to the podcast, not only hit subscribe, but rate us. We would love to get ratings, get feedback from you guys. I'm just going to ignore what Francesca's doing over there. Rate us. We want to hear what you guys think about the after show because Lord knows the three of these girls make it tough enough to work. So I'm hoping, don't roll your eyes at me. I'm hoping you guys like them as much as I do because it's the best thing about Sunday night. I look forward to these three and the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Ladies, are you ready to talk?
Yes. Born ready.
What she said.
Okay, hey, let's talk. We've got really two big stories today. The first one, the show is called Vienna Incidents. We will get to the Vienna Incidents in a minute. But first, let's talk about Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about Courtney? Can't make a decision, buys a new home. First thing first, that's a beautiful home.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Where is it?
Great backyard.
Is it in the hills?
I'm assuming it's in Calabasas.
Yes, where is it? So I can go.
But it's more, isolated than where they were. It's like further up the mountain or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think it's really close, though, because it didn't take her long to get there when she went to go visit Scott?
True.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, they could have cut out the middle part.
Just the next scene, she's there.
But I don't think she would have, he would have called her at night, and she would have just gone up there, that easy.
Do you think it's closer to where Kim is? Or her house is going to
be? Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
When they looked
had a great view.
Yeah. When they looked down to the backyard, I was like...
That backyard, man, that backyard, that pool. I mean, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, it was
kidding.
Awesome.
That is not a bad life.
Nope. Do they need if you guys need a babysitter.
Hey, she needs an assistant. Courtney's assistant quit, and that's part of the problem in this episode with her, is her assistant quit on her, and she has all this home stuff to do.
She's feeling really overwhelmed.
Who was Roya? I thought that was her
name. Roya was a Dash buyer. That's a Dash employee, but it's not her personal.
She's kind of just recruiting people at this point.
But this is so classic Courtney because she even talks about the assistant. She's interviewed 25 people.
Yeah.
She can't make a decision and tells them about one of the assistants. And Chris is like, you need to hire that girl. And Courtney's like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Courtney, make
she's
a decision.
She's so indecisive. And I feel like she needs to adopt Mason's excitement about this new house.
Or Scott's.
Or Scott's.
Or everybody else's.
Everybody
and
else.
And the rats.
And the rats are happy to be there.
The rat
know?
Is really happy to be there.
Embrace it.
I would kind of be on her level, though. I wouldn't want to live in a house with rats, but that's because I hate rats. And if I see one, I will freak out.
I don't know. I don't know anyone that loves rats.
I know, but like, if my house,
I know a few
like,
people.
I do.
My biggest fear would be like sleeping, and you know, when it's dark, rats kind of come out. So it's like, you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine waking up and a rat like sitting on your chest? And don't say it can't happen. I know it can happen.
Listen,
not from experience, but I know it happened to someone.
Oh, whoa,
y'all! I have to say, in college, at one of my friend's house, she lifted up the toilet seat and like the cover, and there was a rat in the toilet.
Was it like drinking or what?
No, it was just like swimming. Hey, it's just like swimming around. Like, that's is that not the grossest thing you've ever heard in your entire life?
That's awesome.
That's all I was thinking about when I was watching this episode.
It's like an epic story right there.
So many comments to make about Sterling's college life. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Totally gonna miss it.
It was really classy, you know. Lots of rats.
Okay, but here's the thing about rats, especially when you can afford a house like that and do all the other things they do. That's a simple problem to fix.
Right.
Courtney, exterminate. It'll take a day. I don't know what protocol is. Or set out poison, but then you'd have to deal with the bodies. We've all done that before.
No, we haven't done that.
Okay, well, a lot of people
have. I don't know where you live, Bobby.
Well, yeah, when you own a house, you have problems like this. Come on, guys. But the point is, it's an easy fix, and it's not the rat that's a problem. The problem is she doesn't want to fix it. And Scott knows that. She doesn't want to move in, even though they had to, even though they sold their, or they are selling their home. Right. She doesn't want to move in because she hates change.
Yeah.
How do you live in the Kardashian family and hate change?
I'm just not sure, Bobby.
Thanks for that. That's a great response.
I totally understand her. Like, I don't know. I can't put her down on this decision just because I'm the same way. I don't like change. Like, you can, literally my apartment looks the same that it did 5 years ago, just a little different. Like, a little stuff added.
Minus all the changes.
I still have the same furniture that I've had since when I first got an apartment. So it's like, I don't like change either. Like,
I feel like it's a girly thing to, you know, change something. Like, sorry, Bobby.
No, go for it.
Like, when I get a new purse, I, like, keep it. Even though I don't do anything with it, I keep it. Because it feels weird to get rid of it.
Right.
I don't know why.
Am I weird? It's like a huge mansion in the hills. Wouldn't you want to upgrade and live there with this wonderful backyard?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
I would, but she's probably like, oh, I have a lot of memories at this old house. And, you know, that was her and Scott's, like, was it their first real house together?
It was their love nest.
If you will.
Yeah.
Oh, they will.
They made babies there.
They made, well, I guess 3 babies there, knowing the news with the third one. So, yeah.
Is she pregnant?
Yeah.
Yet?
Yeah.
Not in the show.
Not in the show.
So, technically, they might not have made the baby there.
Well, they could have made the baby in that Sprinter van. Who knows?
The 9-day escrow.
That's my only dream.
And that's the thing. The only redeeming factor for this for Courtney is that 9-day escrow. Thank goodness for that 9-day escrow because it forces her to get out of there and it forces her to get out of that situation. But I have even written in my notes, Courtney is overwhelmed. Surprise, surprise. Always overwhelmed. Always indecisive. I recognize this is big changes. You can't just move houses in, you know, a day or whatever.
Right.
But you knew this was coming. You planned on this coming. The biggest change was the decision to buy the house and to go through the process.
Right.
The move is the afterthought. It's the obvious next step. Take the next step. You did the toughest step. Take the next one.
Yeah. I was kind of wanting Chloe to move into their old house. Wouldn't that make sense?
That'd be cool.
It's slightly smaller, so it'd probably work better for her than where she was with Lamar and where Courtney has to be now. Yeah.
Before they sold the old house, I thought maybe Scott might be living in the new house alone.
I think he would probably like to live in the new
house. Right?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. They seemed like they wanted to be with each other. They were, you know, he was like, come over here. And she's like, and she did. So, like, you know.
I'm actually surprised how well she took the rats. She was mature about the rats. I kind of half expected her to flip out. If she was already indecisive, to totally use the rats as an excuse and say, nope, 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 I'm never coming back. But she was pretty mature. She brought Bruce through. He kind of showed her what was up.
Bruce.
She talked to exterminators or whomever. So I'll give her a little bit of credit there.
I was surprised she picked up the poop, the rat poop.
Oh, I know.
Listen, you can say it because last week, sorry for the language, advisory warning, it was dog shit last week. It's rat shit this week. Why not?
Oh, good. Why not?
Might as well
at this point.
Shit happens, I'm saying.
I have to say that I love how Bruce is always there for the girls. Mm-hmm. Like anytime they're moving or anything like that. I really love how he's always there. Like,
yeah. He knows a lot about rats.
Great.
Who knew?
Because Bruce is a very normal guy plucked into a very celebrity situation.
Right.
And these women, God love them, you know I do, these women are not this is going to sound weird, but in a way, they're not real people. They're right. celebrity, kind of superficial, all this stuff that we love to hate. Bruce is, plastic surgery aside, all the regular Midwestern, grew up in the Midwest, athlete, Olympian, speaker, businessman, and he's more of the normal, this is what happens when you own a home. This is what happens when you're a father and a grandfather. This is how you do things. And he's got his own issues. But in these regards, he's like the normal voice coming into their ear when everybody else is Hollywood weird crazy. Right.
Well, his eyebrows looked a little crazy in this episode.
I couldn't see them.
Like, they were literally just like going like this, just like straight up diagonally out of his face.
What did you guys think of his ponytail situation?
It looked longer, didn't it?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Was his hair not down?
It was down for a while, but he put it up at some point.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just in a ponytail the whole time.
No, it was down, I think, when he was running with Mason, which was super cute, by the way.
When they were talking about how he's been, like, teasing it, too, at the top. Because, you know, girls do that, like, put a little more
A little volume.
Mm. And I noticed when you walked in, it's, like, teased in all the wrong areas.
You guys, be nice to Bruce. Come on. The funniest line of the show for me in this Courtney situation, but in the entire show, is when Scott says to her about the rat at the front door, and she says, maybe somebody left a banana peel out here or something. And he said, and I quote, nobody in this neighborhood has ever left a banana peel outside. He's become so funny and dry, and I know he was always funny, but he's become the voice of reason to everybody else's insanity, too. It's crazy. He's really right. developed.
I mean, for the most part, that that Mercedes
Sprinter
office,
van,
yeah, that was a little kooky.
Well, and we see what he's doing next episode, just by the previews. He's going to buy a helicopter.
Oh, the helicopter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He has no voice of reason. He has a voice of fun.
He's like, I need a chopper in this backyard.
Yeah.
Let's
do it.
Of course he does.
Let's get
it done.
Of course
he does.
I guess I just like the guys on this show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
we love the guys on this show.
I do feel like Courtney's opening up more to Scott. Like, she used to, like, not do anything he said, like, be totally against it. But now I feel like he'll, like, say something, and then she'll, I guess she sits there and thinks, and she, like, goes ahead and does it. Like, for example, the going to the house, and, like, he talked her into moving in and spending the night with the rats. But I don't know how much pull he had on that. I know the escrow had a lot to do with that, but
oh, definitely more than Scott, but he's a lot more mature, thankfully, for everybody, especially Courtney and those kids. I just wonder if they get married, and I'm going to ask you guys that, but before we do that, let's take a quick break.
My name is Yvonne Saravia, and I am a home health aide. My credit score was very high. It was like 700 something. Then I had like a hiccup in my finances. Everything just crashed. But I don't crawl under a rock and cry. It takes baby steps to get back. So that's what I am doing.
With American Express Serve, you have a full-service prepaid account that helps you handle your money simply and affordably. There's no credit check. You can pay your bills online and reload cash for free at over 15,000 locations, all for $1 a month and all backed by the 24/7 service of American Express. This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Get started with an American Express Serve card at CVS Pharmacy or Family Dollar today. Terms and restrictions apply. Go to serve.com for more details.
Thanks for sticking around for that, guys. On the Kardashian After Show, before we get back into the Scott Disick question, I do have to mention during the break that Miss Sterling Cates was Snapchatting. Of course.
Oh, who, me?
Of course. Oh, man.
He's a Snapchatter. Yeah.
It's cool. We're all addicted. Maybe we'll give out our Snapchats again at the end of this
episode.
Can
I just say that they're all, like, best friends and I wasn't included? Thanks.
Listen, he always Snapchats you guys and says you guys are his favorites.
But I don't feel like
all right, I don't want to get in trouble with the three of you. I know how this goes. Y'all turn on me pretty soon here. So let's get back to Scott and Courtney. The question I was going to ask before the break, the last question on this before we move on to Kim and the big story. The last question is, with Scott maturing, being funnier and drier, but also more mature, more respectful, more understanding of Courtney, and communicating better with her is really what it comes down to, especially with what's gone on in Scott's life with his parents. Do you see him and Courtney ever getting married?
Not really.
I don't think Courtney's ever going to be able to make that decision. We saw how she doesn't even know if she wants to move into their brand new house, let alone marry someone. That's a huge decision for her. And in previous seasons of this show, we've seen her talk about how she doesn't really get the whole point of marriage and this whole thing. So I don't know. She's pretty stubborn when it comes to changing it's, will change,
it's interesting,
but like her ideals and stuff.
To see the three girls. Kim, no offense, I'm not making a judgment. She's marrying everybody. She's married. She's been married three times. She's 32 or whatever. And I know, you know, things don't work out and it's not necessarily her fault. And I'm not saying she's trying to marry everybody. But Kim is now on marriage number three. Chloe married Lamar in like a week.
Yeah.
It was insanely quick.
2 months, I think.
And then you've got Courtney, who's been with this guy for years, who has multiple children and a good relationship and a family. And she's like, marriage?
Yeah, sometimes you don't, you know, don't fix something. What is the saying?
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Exactly.
And it's and I don't know what their reasons are, but there are a lot of financial reasons for not getting married. There are a lot of logistical reasons because it muddies up the waters. So if they're looking at it from a financial perspective or whatever other perspectives besides love, maybe they have good reasons.
I do think that they will get married eventually, but I think it's going to be more like when the kids are grown up and they're older. You know, like how a lot of people be like my mom and my stepdad were together for 25 years and before they got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like.
What was the impetus, not to get too personal, but was there something that happened to get them married or was it just kind of like after 25 years they said it's about time?
I think it was just the shock of my grandfather dying. I think that's what really, you know, made them take that step.
Well, that's interesting. Not to bring that up for you. I'm sorry to dredge up that memory. But the idea of Scott has had now his two parents die. Mm-hmm. And right. So maybe there's something looming on the horizon that he doesn't deal with the deaths. He goes for the Sprinter van. He goes for the helicopter. He goes for all this stuff, the painting a couple episodes ago. And maybe one of the ways he comes to terms with his parents dying so quickly is saying, you know what? You got to lock down the people who are important in your life.
Right.
I've now realized how important Courtney is, obviously, and maybe that storyline in the show or not, maybe that's something that they pursue down the road when he understands what Courtney means to him and what this family means to him because he's just lost his family.
Yeah. Can you imagine Courtney during the wedding planning process, though? Like, what cake to get, what dress to wear? Oh, my God.
I could see.
I imagine that would be the most annoying thing be a part of.
I could see the two of them. I know this sounds crazy. With what Courtney wants and how practical Scott can be, I could see the two of them going to the courthouse.
Simple.
I guess
that's probably the easiest.
And having
for her
a big party or something.
I don't even know if they'd have the party. I just think for her, it's just a logistical thing. We're ready to do this. Let's just go to the courthouse. She's not a celebrity in the same sense that Chloe kind of is, and Kim definitely is.
Yeah.
So for Courtney, not that she's been thrown into the celebrity life. She is an active participant in becoming a celebrity, but I think she wants it a little bit differently. And part of that is, I don't want a TV special. I don't want a huge wedding.
Right.
Maybe go to the courthouse. I don't know.
And that's why I love Courtney so much. Because she's just super simple. She's not overly glamorous or dramatic by any means.
No.
Let's talk glamour and drama, by the way. How about Vienna, you guys?
Oh, what a perfect transition there.
I know. You see what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I'm y'all's favorite host, right?
Right. Sometimes.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Great. Okay. Speaking of glamour and drama, my first question for you guys, and it is tongue-in-cheek. It's a joke. But seriously, man, how racist is Austria?
Oh, my gosh.
I was sitting there the whole time we were watching it just like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, we had seen previews for it for the last couple weeks, and I had never heard any stories outside of it. So I was so like, what is it that's going on? And just to see that, my mouth just dropped.
And Austrians, you're not actually all racist. I made that as a joke. But the way Austria is portrayed in this show,
right.
If I am Austrian or whatever, I'm pissed. That was, because obviously that's not all of Austria, but the two or three stories they told are terrible. The theft,
oh my God.
The blackface, the comedian saying whatever he said, and then the woman coming home.
Yeah, I think.
Chris was not happy. She was drinking at every chance she could.
When she said, do you want, when that
champagne
guy was like,
vodka?
Champagne. I was like, oh, champagne. She's like, vodka.
vodka,
I need that now.
How did
Straight
that
up.
Guy get in, like, Kim was right. Like, how did someone like that get in to an event like that?
Even
unbelievable.
The way the ball was set up, it's so classy and it's such a big deal. And it looked amazing. It really did look beautiful. The way that is set up, whether or not it's blackface and offensive to Kim personally, how do you let a joker like that into it? Unless maybe it's an Austrian tongue-in-cheek event that we don't understand. But how do you let somebody like that into it to kind of muddy up a classy thing?
I have no idea. I mean, the president was there.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I just
exactly.
don't understand. Yeah.
Crazy. The one thing that kind of bothered me was the fact that they showed him, because that's almost like...
It legitimizes it in a weird
exactly.
way.
Yeah, exactly. I would have just rather them have spoke about it, but to show him, this guy's going to sit there and be like, that was me. That was my 15 minutes of fame.
Exactly.
And
like
it's
this,
horrible.
Just, like, fueling the fire.
Exactly.
Although I will say, And I have something to say about this alternatively for the audience, and I'll be interested to hear what viewers have to say. But maybe they show him and put such a focus on him because they can bring something good out of it and explain to people why this is racist, why this is unacceptable. It doesn't matter who you are. And that's what Kim and Chris talked about later. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. I may never have experienced racism personally, but that doesn't make it okay. Right. You know, the thing that really got me though, and maybe I'm wrong, but E and the Kardashians must think their viewers are dumb as crap for doing that minute on the history of blackface.
Yeah, when that was happening, I was like, the producers are feeding this into Chris's ear right now. She did not know the history
Not only that, I feel like not everybody, and I know a lot of people probably don't, and I know a lot of non-Americans probably don't know the same history in America with this, but blackface is and was and has been a huge deal. It's come out a lot of times before in the media. Julianne Hough did the Halloween costume last year in blackface. This comes up again and again. And for E to take a minute or two to explain it, I appreciate the history lesson. I know the significance of it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, do you think your viewers are dumb enough that you need to take the minute or two to explain it?
Well, I don't want to say that because a lot of people that love the Kardashians, they're a newer generation. They're a lot younger than us. So they, you know, they might not know that to an extent right now.
I guess. I still, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I know that I'm probably more informed than most of the viewers. Right. Not to say I'm smart, but I'm just more informed on that
like
sort
we
of stuff.
We got it when we saw it. We knew that it was wrong. But I feel like a lot of people who don't know that history, you know, now they get that how big of a deal it is.
I mean, yeah, because even the clip, I mean, I knew about it, but the clip that they showed, I was just like, wow, that's, I haven't really ever seen it. I just know, you know, knew about it.
Right.
Yeah.
What comment was it that they were talking about that Kanye said that was racist, which I have to say this, they made a point, Kim made a point to throw it in there and like be like, I just agreed. And the one time I happened to agree, like she was covering her ass for it.
I think she was covering her ass a little bit. Definitely.
She's like, I'm not racist. Well, obviously we know you're not racist, but it was like, she was trying to cover something. Like she felt bad about something. The comment she was talking about
earlier on the comment
in the beginning
Kanye
of
made.
What comment was it? Because then she brought up how Kanye talks about racism at his concert. So what was it that was said?
She alluded to it and I don't remember what it is, but it was something about how racism still exists, how it is still out there, how people are still affected by it. And I think Kim's point of view was she had kind of recognized, rightfully so, that she lives in a glass house in a lot of ways or whatever and lives on a pedestal. And she had never experienced it. And it was kind of eye-opening to say, oh, well, Kanye still says there's racism. There is still racism. I may not know it, but it is still.
Because she was
there.
Just like, I believe everything he says.
Yeah.
Which
is a different kind of problem.
Right. Exactly. But, it's a completely different problem.
Yeah. That's okay. Kanye believes everything Kanye says, too. So it's cool.
I thought her blog post at the end when she was reading it was actually really well written and had a lot of really deep thought put in there. I was like, wow. Pretty good, Kim. The blog post.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kim, and that just made her so much more real. Like real. Do you know what I mean? You think of her as a celebrity,
right?
Just somewhere up there. But for her to
up there
in the sky. No, but just to hear her voice that and read it, like I was getting a little emotional because that was really touching. Because being a mother has, you know, opened her eyes up, like she said, and. It's just nice to see something like that come out of her mouth and for her to be passionate about that because I think a lot of people just think of her, like I said, up there, pedestal.
That's just
she's
the face.
So superficial, blah, blah, blah. No, she's real. And, you know, she might not, well, I mean, here in California, we're so diverse, you know what I mean? But I just totally lost my train of thought.
We are not as diverse as you think, and this is true of any place. There's a lot of very open and accepting people, and there's a lot of people who are not accepting. And having dated interracially before myself, I was kind of surprised to hear some feedback from some people and to see some reactions to some people. So seeing what Kim has to go through dating interracially and marrying interracially with Kanye, and she's obviously done this before, but now having a biracial baby for her is a different thing. Like you're saying, that this is very personal to her now. And she did two things I liked a lot in this episode. The first one is that idea of coming down off the pedestal.
Right.
She, nothing against her, nothing her fault. She works very hard to do this. But as a celebrity, as a rich person, you are different from us. You are above a lot of our problems. This is a problem where she finally comes down and confronts it and says, oh, hey, it's not so good. I need to recognize it's not so good because it's not okay, period.
Right.
And two, what a professional. at that ball.
Exactly.
All the media, all the focus, all the attention, and just taking it.
Right.
And I know a lot of people will see her at the ball and say, oh, you should have called the comedian out right away. You should have called the blackface guy out right away. No. I think you need to be a professional there and then change everything you can change in your life later. But you come to do a job. As weird as her job is, she came to do a job. You are professional at your job. You are a true professional with what you do. You are tight-lipped, as tough as it might be at that point. You're literally turning the other cheek like something you would have seen in a civil rights movement in a very different way. But the same idea of, I'm not going to come down to your level. I'm going to stay professional and well done and put up and whatever. And she did just that. I think
she handled
very good
it
job.
Very gracefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
It didn't look like she was having an ounce of fun there, but she did handle it very gracefully.
I think she handled it about the exact way you probably should.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, I agree.
How she handled the plane situation, props to her, because I would
you would have flipped out.
I would have hit a bitch. Like, especially, like, say what you want to me, but when you're, like, doing that to my child, which I don't have a child, but I have dogs and I know what it's like, I mean,
there's a difference between everything that happened at the ball. It's happening to her and she's an adult, or it's happening to Kanye and he's an adult. But when this person is attacking a baby who has not able to defend itself at all, and, you know, she's obviously, those protective instincts are gonna hit in at any point. But I mean, it's just completely different when you're being disrespectful to an adult as opposed to a baby who is defenseless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the idea of people around you you care about. And this is a concept we've talked about with some of these girls before about empathy. You start to feel for other people, whether or not it's a baby, but somebody else. When folks attack the three of you, mean viewers, I get defensive. Put it on me. You know, I know you three can handle it, but it's the same idea of when people you care about are going through something tough, you don't want to see them mm-hmm. go through it. You'd rather put it through yourself rather than have them go through it. And when it is a baby and it is defenseless, it's that times a thousand.
Right. And I like that, what she wrote in her blog about how her whole life she never thought racism or any of these issues that she's now facing were her problem. But it's kind of like, with any social issue, we're always like, oh, well, that doesn't affect me, so maybe I won't do anything about it. But the fact that she does have such a high power in society, a lot of people, she's very influential.
Public figure.
And she has, you know, kind of the power to make a change. And her and Kanye together can, you know, have a lot of influence.
This is that idea, and a lot of athletes and celebrities and movie stars and stuff will say this, and some embrace it and some hate it, but mm-hmm. whether you like it or not, when you're a public figure, you're a role model.
Right.
And it goes even beyond that. We are role models to people in our lives. Everybody is. You look up to somebody and somebody looks up to you. We are all role models, and when you are public, it is magnified times a thousand. Whether or not you want to be, tough luck, you are. And so for Kim to embrace that idea of being a role model is so mature and so big, and hopefully with that blog post, so authentic.
Right.
Hopefully she actually wrote it. She went through the thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, hope.
It looked like she did. Because she almost looked very emotional, too, reading it to her mom. So... yeah.
Unless it was the first time she was reading it and she was like, oh, this is really good. Maybe I can publish this.
You guys are silly.
Hey, today it's a Tumblr blog. Tomorrow it's an op-ed in the New York Times. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That's not going to happen.
I mean, we were just talking about this, that she did do it so professionally in Vienna, because I do not have a poker face whatsoever. I would have had the stank face on and would have been like, get out of. But, oh, that's what I was going to say. It was actually nice, though, to see all of that, how they sprung the last minute, oh, you're supposed to be signing autographs. And then she's like, what? We didn't know this. Because I've been places where you're waiting for a celebrity to come and they show up late or this and this and this. And you're like, that's so rude. Or, like, why would you do that? And we don't realize that just because they are somebody doesn't mean – you know, they're not a normal person and things like that don't happen. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not be able to be in, you know, that big of a spotlight all the time. So it was nice for them to show that she's, you know, she's normal.
And how being a mother is taking priority over everything else
that.
In her life.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to feed my daughter over signing stuff
exactly.
for fans.
And like, I saw that part of the episode, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, if that were me, I'd sign every last autograph, assuming I didn't have a kid. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, would I really sign every last autograph? That's a huge demand. Maybe you do it once or twice, but could you do it every single day?
I mean, there were
day?
Thousands of people there, too.
Yeah. And I know she went to Vienna. She knew what she was getting into. She got paid. But still, that's That's a huge commitment, and it's incredibly draining.
She didn't even know that. They sprung that up on her.
Oh, no, but I mean, she knew that people were going to go crazy.
Yeah, of course,
of course.
And the only questions they're being asked are, how's your trip to Vienna? Like, what's your favorite thing?
Oh,
and
she's just
like, oh, we're so happy.
My favorite thing is standing in this mall with all you guys. I don't know.
They haven't even done any sightseeing or anything because they were dealing with Chris's bag. And then
let's talk Chris's bag.
First, do you notice how she never said anything good about Vienna? The only thing she said was, it's very beautiful.
And the food.
And the strudel.
Chris said the food, yeah.
I've been to Vienna, and I had an amazing time. It was really beautiful. Obviously,
Any rats in the toilets?
No rats. No, I didn't, well, you know, I didn't experience the Vienna ball, though. I wasn't invited.
Yeah, I didn't either. I went to Vienna, and I thought it was beautiful. People seemed nice, but also, I don't know. It just seems like I thought people would have treated her like royalty there, you know?
But they kind of did.
I mean, they did.
They did,
but I mean, for the most part, people were kind of mean to her the whole trip.
They just thought they were funny. Like, sometimes humor doesn't translate. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that they thought it was offensive or it was just like a language barrier?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's A, it's a language barrier, and B, part of the beauty of comedy is you kind of walk this fine line.
Yeah,
and you're going to overstep it in some people's eyes, and you're not.
Right.
And so Kim, rightfully so, we think, saw it as being overstepped twice with the blackface and with the comedian in the interview, but maybe those guys authentically, legitimately think they did not overstep the line and they were telling a good joke.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, that's the name of the song. Maybe they don't know the
connotation of the word.
Right. The connotation, but also the slang version of the word versus like the full word. I don't know.
They gotta be dumb though if they don't know.
Well, yeah. Even the host that isn't.
She looked uncomfortable.
She's like, oh my God.
she was like, laughing.
It
wasn't a comfortable laugh.
That's
though.
What I
like,
felt
what
too.
Else would she do?
I would have been like.
She was more of a presenter.
I'll tell you what you do. You pull the mic away.
Yeah. Right.
It's over. This guy's done. We're going to talk to Kim now.
Go to commercial. Yeah. You know?
What was he even doing in the interview?
I have no idea.
I was thinking the same thing.
And he wasn't Austrian. He was a German comedian.
Yes, you're right.
So it's like, why is he even here? Unless he's big in Germany. I really don't know.
You know, at first I thought that the blackface guy was the same guy. I almost thought, but I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't have time to take all that off his face.
They were the same
in
the respect that they were both wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Well, obviously. But I think that... Were they both comedians, or
We don't know who that?
I don't
crazy
know if the first
was.
One was a comedian, but it was an attempt at comedy. I would think,
yeah,
in a weird, inappropriate
way. And it was
way.
Very well planned. Like he was going there to pretend to be Kanye.
It's just weird how these people got into something so big and official, and like.
Well, stuff like this has happened to Kim before, walking down red carpets and having, like, flour thrown on her and stuff like that. So this is about being a professional for her and saying, you can do whatever
she's
to me.
She's used to it.
But we can go to the red carpet here, you know, and we just wait out. Like, that's a little different than going to the Vienna Ball where they shut it down.
I don't know. Yeah, and with the president there, you would think they have a little different security. So I don't know. All right, hey, let's talk about Chris.
Yeah, the luggage.
How about that luggage?
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That is crazy. And it was both of her bags, not even just the one with the clothes and stuff. But they took took everything out of her cosmetic bags and dumped it in the suitcase and then just took the bags that they were in.
It's just ridiculous. And again, I like that they show that they're normal people too, because their baggage was on a flight. It didn't fly first class in a private jet. No, they were on a normal plane.
Right.
And that happened. And, I mean, that's just, it's unbelievably disrespectful. I've had my bag searched before where they left a note saying, we searched your bag. Cool. And then I've had my bag, I open it up and everything's everywhere else. And I'm like, really?
With no note.
With no note. And luckily, I'm smart. Anything valuable, I carry on with me to the plane physically. But I was just like, you really just dug through like my underwear and socks to try to find something. Please, I hope you didn't take any of my panties. But it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I really would like to know what airline they were flying.
Lufthansa, they said it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They said JFK or whatever, LaGuardia, Lufthansa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not flying you guys, sorry.
It makes me, like, really not want to check my stuff anymore. Like, really.
But on an international flight, you don't have a choice.
And especially when you have multiple suitcases.
Yeah, you're going to be checking something.
It just really set the tone for the whole trip. After that, it was just all.
And listen, Chris is totally right. I know it's easy to make fun of her and say, oh, you're a rich person. You lost your stuff. You can replace it. Yeah, she can replace it. But it's not about that. It's the feeling of being violated.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I like how Kim, too, was like, it's material. Again, yeah. I just love this episode. They really, you know, put them down to earth.
She really seemed like a normal person. She was like, well, the good news is that they're all material things.
But so. Had it happened to Kim, it would have been a different story.
It might have been.
I mean, I probably, you know, if it happens to you, yeah, it's a different story, of course. But at the end of the day, it just
I like to think that now that she's a mother, she's much more kind of, like you were saying, down to earth mm-hmm. and more realistic about what's important in life as opposed to your Chanel purse, you know, the people and the your family is what's important. And I'd like to think Kim is thinking that, too.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't care if I was millions and millions and millions of dollars rich and someone took, like, my favorite pair of shoes. I'd be pissed.
Right.
So.
I agree.
What about you, Bobby?
I mean, yeah, what about your favorite pair of shoes?
It's not about how much it costs. It's just about if yeah. it's something that you enjoy, you like, that someone took from you. It's
well, and that's just, like, a huge betrayal of trust. You're thinking you're just getting on a plane, you know, and it's obviously people who are handling your bags and stuff. You'd like to think you're putting them in good, your bags in good hands, but to see you've been robbed once you get there.
Right, it's horrible. And kind of off topic, but not. Whenever I go to the beach, I always think about this. Everyone just leaves their stuff
yeah.
and goes to the water. It's like the one place where you don't care about your things.
I do all the time.
Isn't that weird? Sorry, just a random thought, but it's just like really weird.
Well, there's a great deal of trust and honor code in a lot of places. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
I keep my stuff at, like, even when I'm at the beach, like, if someone's not there, like, I will keep an eye on it. I will watch it the whole time. I'm just really weird. And just because I've been stolen from before, like, people who were very close to me have stolen things from me.
Oh, wow.
I had a roommate that stole from me. So it's like, I have this big guard up when it comes to thieves.
Yeah, it's crazy what we put trust in. You know, the trust we put in people, like airplanes and stuff, like
right.
airlines and stuff. And that's
even like valeting your car. I oh, feel God. Like they could just drive away with their car. Yeah. I thought about that a
Have
few times.
Have you ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
Yes, they
that could happen in real life.
Both my front and back bumpers have cracks and dents because of valet. I don't valet my car if I don't have to, ever.
Anytime but in I do, LA, I feel like you I do check a lot. Around, and I'll be like, walk with me. And like, then, like, when I come back, I'll look around my car.
What, are you driving a Maserati or something?
No, but I paid for that car, and I'm still paying
I'm
for that
it.
Car.
I'm
and
with it's mine. Okay.
Don't mess with it.
Okay. No,
Bobby, back off.
Nobody's messing with Jesse. Wow. Hashtag don't mess with Jesse.
Don't
the official
mess with Jesse.
Hashtag
don't.
Of this show. Okay, guys. I think that's about it on Vienna. Bad trip for them.
Horrible.
Bag getting stolen, the blackface incident, the racist comedian in the live interview, and then the crazy woman coming back, which you said, rightfully so, you probably do something physical to that girl.
Well,
that
like Chloe ridiculous. Said, she's like, I'd punch her in the face.
Yeah.
Even her well, I probably own husband not an aggressive was, like, person, but in her face saying, shut up, shut up. Like, yeah. if I would have been her husband, I would have just slapped her and knocked her out. Or she was honestly, since they were in first class, like, the lady was probably drunk.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, man, the drunk brain says what the sober brain thinks. And that racism is going to come out one time or another yeah. if you're drunk. And for her, that's an ugly moment.
True.
Ugly.
How embarrassed. She must feel so embarrassed.
Well, we should have looked this up. I'm sorry for not looking this up because I know it was a news story when it happened.
Right.
When you create a disturbance like that on an airplane, that's a federal issue.
No fly
right.
list.
I want to know what happened when they landed.
Yeah. There's police.
Because they call the police.
Because yeah, they said exactly. police are there. You're going to get arrested because any disturbance on an airplane post 9/11, they don't know what's going on. Even if it's passenger to passenger, whatever, you can't create a disturbance on an airplane.
Right. Where was right. the air marshal?
Where yeah. was the air marshal?
Because they were like, the pilot came out, but they never said the air marshal
I always
came
just
out.
Think about Bridesmaids, where she's drunk on the plane.
Yeah, I'm ready to party.
But, sorry, a lot of other thoughts today. But, yeah, where was the air marshal?
We don't know.
Who knows? Maybe Kim was the air marshal and she slept through it.
Yeah.
Probably not. All right, guys, let's get to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz.
We have a lot of good stuff, ton of news today, so I'm glad we're doing this early. The first piece of news, you guys, Kim is eyeing in New York City a $21 million apartment. Not bad life if you can get it. Owned right now by Ivanka Trump, and earlier wow. this week she took a look at it, according to E! Online. Kim has been working with, don't know if you guys watch this show, Frederick Eklund, who stars on Bravo's hit show Million Dollar Listing, New York. And they're looking for an apartment. This one is on Lafayette Street in Soho. Apparently, they tried to keep this meeting a secret. Eye roll, sure they did. But yeah. The paparazzi found him out, so Eklund tweeted and Instagrammed some stuff and said, I'm trying to help Kim find an apartment. My rent is like $900 a month. Their rent is like $21 million. No
I'm
big
just saying,
deal.
Can they finish their house first, though?
Right.
Like,
Maybe they can move into one of Courtney's homes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm just so anxious for them to. Well, I don't know why I feel anxious about them moving. And I do have to say one thing, though. Well, I'll talk about it in a second, but I'll just say it now, anyways. So the other day was Chloe's birthday, and I was seeing like Kendall and Kylie and everyone Instagramming like happy birthday, whatever. And I was just like, oh man, I forgot to tell her happy birthday. And I was like, wait, Sterling, you don't know her. I was like, oh man, I forgot to tell my best friend happy birthday.
Why don't you just send her a happy birthday Snapchat?
I don't know, but I was really embarrassed that was an actual thought.
That's
like
wow.
I was worried about telling Chloe happy birthday.
It's okay. We were talking about how we hope Scott comes and picks us up in his van.
We were talking about that. We would love to hang out with Scott in his van. Speaking of Chloe, news item number two, French Montana, our new best friend, was fined $500 for driving on a suspended license. He was in court in New York City this week. $500 fine for him is probably nothing because he was caught driving on the suspended license in a Rolls-Royce Ghost.
Whoops.
Bala.
Not bad. Now, he was asked by the paparazzi whether Kris Jenner was going to write him off or disapprove of him or something because of this suspended license thing, and he said, no, it's not a big deal. I love her, and she loves me. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Now, here's a quiz for you guys. Do you know what French Montana's real name is?
We're waiting for your answer.
Kareem Carbouche. Why do I say that? Two Ks.
Oh.
Two Ks.
What do you know?
He was meant to be part of this family.
Carbouche.
His initials are KK. Everyone else's are KK,
yeah.
too.
That's interesting. Hmm.
There you go. It's meant to be with Chloe.
It really is.
Number three. This one's a good one. It's going to lead into some of our other stuff. Rob Kardashian. We haven't really talked about him yet. I've got great stuff to say about him, and I never get the chance. But Rob, according to Celeb Buzz, has been photographed and spotted at a party recently handing out and handling cups of Sizzurp.
Sizzurp.
If you don't know what Sizzurp is, it is a fixture in the hip-hop community. It is a drink, and it is... I'm serious. It's soda or grape juice mixed with codeine or another prescription cough syrup.
Yeah, liquid codeine.
It's no joke. And
it's like Lil Wayne status.
It can mess you up.
Lil Wayne almost died from that.
No, people, you can almost die for that. Lil Wayne, a rapper named Zero in Houston, a rapper named Lil John. You guys hopefully know Lil John.
Our big
have made their affinities known for this drink. So this is scandalous with Rob. The other scandal, according to TMZ, the photos were taken, quote, during a drug-fueled party.
I was going to say that.
And that other members of the Kardashian clan have been encouraging Rob to go to rehab facilities, though he keeps denying them. This follows up reports that other sources say that Rob has not spoken to either Chloe or Kim in more than a month.
Yikes.
Terrifying. Honestly terrifying.
I can understand not speaking to Kim for about a month, but Chloe, I thought him and Chloe were really close.
Used to be roommates several times. Very close.
I don't know.
I feel like the Lamar thing was really hard on Rob, too.
It was like they broke up, too. I mean, they were like a trio, you know?
Right. Exactly.
But Rob still hangs out with Lamar, right?
Well, maybe that's the drug-fueled party problem.
Yeah, that could be part of the problem. But amid all of those substance abuse rumors, he was photographed going to the gym on Wednesday.
Good.
So that's good. I mean, he's still overweight in the picture. You know, it's what we've seen, him in the sweats and everything. But he was photographed on Wednesday going to the gym. And I was going to bring up that TMZ article about the drug-fueled party. I thought that was a pretty funny quote to me. Mm-hmm. But he also hasn't been photographed with any of the family, whether it was Bruce, Chris, Kendall,
just for the record, not to get into our personal lives too much, ladies, but what party is not drug fueled?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was going to say, what other kind of parties are there?
Slumber parties.
We just watch Netflix and drink hot chocolate.
Is that what girls do?
Yeah.
Oh, pillow fights. I've heard that's what girls do, right?
Feathers go everywhere.
I don't even know anybody with a feather pillow.
I sleep on a feather pillow.
My pillow's down
don't
as
judge.
Well.
Like
my pillow's down.
Yeah, my pillow's down. You know. Gotta keep it classy.
All right, more news. Jesse, I know you got some stuff.
Oh, wait, I got one more.
She's not done.
Yeah, don't cut me off, Bobby.
Road.
Anyways, so like we were saying, it was Chloe's birthday on the 27th. They had a yacht party in NYC. The whole family was there, minus Robert. And
Robert.
And, yeah, even French Montana was there.
Yeah,
he was. She was looking real pretty. But Kim kind of stole the show. She was wearing this very revealing navy gown on the yacht.
When is she not, like, revealing herself lately?
There's a lot to reveal. It's hard not to reveal it.
Yeah.
But listen, anyways, I love it, Kim.
Kanye's like, you look so beautiful. Express yourself, girl.
Yes. Happy belated B-Day, Chloe. Sorry, I forgot
Happy
to text
birthday.
You. I forgot to text her. All right. Anyways, okay. Go, Jesse.
So, well, anyways, there's kind of two parts, but it's about Chloe's birthday. So French Montana obviously spoiled her with lots of gifts, but
what did he get her?
I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Lamar called Chloe on her birthday, and he was like, "I love you, happy birthday!" And all she said was, "Thank you." She didn't even say
that's my girl.
Good. Good.
She just said thank you.
You do not talk to exes when you're with the next person. Inappropriate.
But
good for Chloe.
This insider said that, and this is Reality TV Magazine. I'm not sure how true this is, but that's why it's news and gossip. So anyway,
that's why her hair's so big. It's full of secrets.
Basically, Lamar's hopeful that they'll get back together.
Oh,
well, of course he is.
Well, of course he is, because that's the only family he's ever known, the only stability he's ever known, definitely.
Right. And he hasn't signed the divorce papers, so that could explain why he hasn't.
Just like that movie Twister, where Helen Hunt's character refuses to... Okay, sorry.
And then they end up together.
Moving right along.
It's just like Twister. They're going to end up back together.
Jessie's so proud of herself.
Okay, hey, let's get to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So what's it going to be, ladies? Who's got a prediction?
I think Kim and Chloe are going to get in a fight in that mud race next week.
Oh, dude, great prediction. Great call.
Well, we saw it. Chloe, Chloe tackles Kim in the mud.
But usually,
in typical Chloe fashion, she's, like, wrestling everyone.
But they usually, like, laugh and giggle. I think, like, Kim's going to take it personal, and she's going to be pissed.
I was going to say, if Chloe, like, puts her face in the mud, Kim is not going to have that.
She's going to be pissed.
Yeah, that's Chloe fashion. I love that she's always wrestling. That's awesome. I've always wanted to do one of those mud races.
Yeah, it looks really fun.
Have you heard of the one where we were just talking about this the other day? They have an obstacle course where you get electrocuted. You you have to go through this ice water thing, and this one lady got hypothermia.
Yeah, is this real?
Can I be honest?
Don't sign me up.
This real?
That sounds awful.
Some guy got caught up in he was getting electrocuted and almost hung. Like,
should we do a group? Yeah, after we go pole dancing, we can go do this.
Yeah, what about the pole dancing, ladies? Nobody followed up on that. I'm still getting tweets.
I sent you guys that Groupon.
It's on y'all. It's on y'all. I am not going to have the proactive agency to do this on my own. So
okay.
It's
okay. Sounds like you kind of want to.
I'm down if we get the tweets.
Yeah, what's our count?
It's like 40.
Oh, okay.
It's probably higher than that.
So
you guys,
we already said that we would do it if the tweets reached 50. So 10 more tweets, guys, we'll do you a pole dancing class.
What was that, 100?
It was 100.
Yeah, but remember we were like, if it ends up being 50, we'll do it anyway.
Oh, man. Be careful what I wish for. Okay. Lord. All right. Hey, as we get going, Snapchats, Twitters, Instagram, Sterling, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sterling Kate.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Jessie Owen. That's MissJessieOwen.
MissIssS. No, I'm sorry.
Like Mississippi.
Mississippi. You can find me Twitter, Instagram, XOXOCESCA.
And I'm on Twitter at Bobby DeMuro, on Instagram at Mr. Bobby DeMuro. I guess we're not giving out Snapchats today.
Hell no.
Are we?
Nope.
Do it. I'm at Bobby DeMuro on Snapchat. Sterling is Sterling C.
Oh, cool.
On Snapchat. So send her some snaps. Guys, that's it for the Kardashians After Show here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, as we go, Maria's new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores right now. Pick up a copy. It is wonderful stuff. We will see you next week on The Kardashian Show. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.